We are continuing through our series through the Gospel of Luke, and tonight we have come to Luke chapter 8, and we will be looking at verses 1 to 21. Verses 1 to 21. So please open up your Bible with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. And as I read, O beloved congregation, please do remember that this is not just a beautiful story. This is more than just a historical text. This is, in fact, the infallible Word of God. Luke chapter 8, beginning from verse 1. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Congregation, let us bow and pray for this text. Almighty God, we give you thanks, for truly your word is perfect. It's marvelous. It's sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb. We pray that your Spirit would illuminate our hearts and our eyes this evening, so that we can clearly see the beauty of your word, so that we can see the deep and hidden things, and so that we can see how our life is written within this text. And we may see Jesus Christ clearly within this text as well. And may your Spirit be with this weak and broken vessel to clearly, faithfully expound your word. We give you thanks and we pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved congregation, have you ever felt like an outcast in school or at work? Kids, have you ever felt this way in school, where all the cool kids have the latest smartphones and the latest headphones and latest laptop, but you are still using the flip phone that you inherited from your parents? What about you, adult? Have you ever felt like an outcast at work, where everyone is talking about the latest drama on Netflix, whether it's Shogun or any other fancy dramas, but you prefer reading C.S. Lewis for the fifth time? You are different. Or perhaps you feel like an outcast when you are hanging out with others here in the church. You are a single person in a church full of families. You are a high school graduate in a church with more degrees than a thermometer. You are that one who doesn't have the right to vote in a group of people who know more than the political pundits on TV. Have you ever felt like an ugly duckling? Like that kid who sits alone in the school cafeteria during lunch period. Have you ever felt like an outcast, but longing to be received and treated as a family member? If you have ever felt this way, then the passage before us today should bring you much comfort. Because in this passage, which includes the famous parable of the sower, we learn about how to be received into the most loving family, which is the family of Jesus Christ. And what is remarkable about this passage is that it reminds us that we are not received into this loving family of Jesus by climbing some social ladder, nor do we unlock our access to it by accomplishing some special accomplishment in the society. No, instead, we are received into this family of Jesus by faith in his words. Furthermore, this passage powerfully reminds us that Jesus is the one who initiated this contact. He is the one who approaches outcasts like us and draws us into his family with his words. And so tonight we'll consider this topic, this theme, family of Jesus, from two angles. Firstly, we will consider the family of Jesus as illustrated in the passage. And secondly, we'll consider how to be received into Jesus' family as according to the parables in the text. And let us begin by considering our first point, the family of Jesus as illustrated in this passage. Congregation, what and who do you think of when someone mentions the word family? Do you think immediately of your immediate family, your parents, your spouse, your children, your sibling, your cousins and relatives? Or do you think of your classmates and perhaps co-workers whom you consider to be closer than your family? Or perhaps you think of your family in some particular organization. For example, to this day, I still get many letters from my alma mater addressing me as Dear Husky Family. And I can't help but wonder if they share the same marketing department with my local grocery store, because my local grocery store from time to time will also send me coupon books addressing me as Dear Kroger Family. Well, while we might think of our immediate family first when the word family comes into our mind, but this word family, it does convey a strong relationship and connection. As such, it is also frequently used to describe a group of people with some common bond, some strong bond. And here in our passage, we also see that Jesus addresses those who are not his immediate family as his own family member. And who are they? Well, we see that they are the members of faith, which Jesus highlighted in this passage. For we see that at the end of our passage, Jesus' immediate family came to him, desiring to see him. But he said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Verse 21. Now some might wonder if Jesus is disowning his immediate family like a rebellious child. But scripture reminds us that that is not the case at all. We know that Jesus never denied Mary as his mother. In fact, as he hung upon the cross during his dying moments, he would still address her as his mother. And we also know Jesus perfectly obeyed the word of God. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God, the Ten Commandments, including the fifth commandment, which you all know is to honor your father and your mother. So what's going on here? What's going on here is that Jesus wanted to highlight his family of faith. As he traveled through cities and villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, he emphasized that those who hear and act upon the word of God are more than just believers. They are, in fact, his family members. This world around us focuses on earthly categories and relationships, but Jesus Christ emphasized and focused on faith. And what does our passage reveal to us regarding the members of this family of faith? Well, what is immediately obvious is that they were all lowly in this world. For example, the 12 apostles that were mentioned in verse 1, they were lowly in their social status. None of them were esteemed in the society. None of them ever held any positions of power. Apostles such as Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, they were not held in high regard by the religious leaders. Why? Because they were stinky, uneducated fishermen. Not only do they stink from their job, they were also uneducated. They probably couldn't read very well. And furthermore, within the 12, there was one called Levi who was a tax collector. Now, if the fishermen were despised because they were uneducated and because, well, of their job, then a tax collector like Levi, he was an outcast. He was not just despised, he was thrown out. He would be regarded, back in the day, he would be regarded as a notorious sinner due to his job as a tax collector. The Jewish society around him would reject him. They wouldn't want to hang out with him. He would not be invited, not just to our family dinner. He would not be invited to the fellowship meal as well. We would keep him at bay, not just an arm's length, but, well, back in the day, they kept him at some social distance or a couple measures of social distance. They kept him away. And the fact that the family of faith of Jesus includes these lowly ones of the society, it comforts us. It comforts us to know that Jesus calls the lowly and the rejected ones of this world to be his family. Because at times, we might feel like an outcast due to our statuses in this world as well. and the sinful values of this world might even influence us to such a degree that we see ourselves as outcasts, even in a church. We are the blue-collar man in a white-collar church. We are the stay-home moms in a church full of successful career women. But this passage reminds us that while the world around us might mock us, despise us, and even reject us, Christ Jesus embraces us for our faith. Besides the apostles, we also see many women being named among Jesus' family of faith. Now, these women, they were also lowly in their social status. Back then, women could not testify in court because they were women. They could not receive any inheritance because they were women. And their names wouldn't even be included in genealogies because they were women. And not only were they lowly in their social status because of their gender, but some of these women mentioned in this passage, they were also lowly due to their infirmities and sins. For example, we see in verse 2, Mary Magdalene, she was known for her demon possession. And how humiliating was that? You're not known for your great chili recipe. You're not known for the great things you have done. You're known to be possessed by demons once upon a time. And likewise, we see Joanna, whose name is mentioned in verse 3. And she was married to Chusa, the household manager of the notorious Herod. So she would be hated too. She too would be despised due to her indirect association with Herod. Yet we see for these women, as they place their faith in Jesus, these ones who were despised for their infirmities and their sins, they found their names included in Jesus' family of faith. Those who could not be named among the genealogies are named among Jesus' family. And this should comfort everyone who feels like an outcast because their life is in disarray. As we can see, Jesus helps sinners and calls sinners into his family of faith. And this is also an encouragement to those whose political association might be unpopular in a group context. Jesus focused on the faith of a person, and so should we. Again, why do we need to pay attention to the family of Jesus as illustrated in this passage? This is a great reminder for us because we may feel like an outcast in this world. Whether it is because of our job or our sinful past or that we are different than other people in various earthly categories. But this passage gives us comfort because it reminds us that Jesus welcomes us who are the outcasts of this world into his family, his faithful family. And as we will see in our second point, how to be received into Jesus' family, the parables also emphasized the importance of faith and provided us with the implication of having such faith. So the second point, how to be received into Jesus' family as explained in the parables. So how can we be received into the family of Jesus? We all know how to become members of various kinds of families of this world. For example, if someone wants to be our immediate family, they would have to be born into it. So they have to be born into it. And to be a member of any loyalty program, we would have to be customers. If we want to be Alaska Airlines family, we have to be frequent flyers and Kroger's and so on and so forth. And if you stop spending money, you would be kicked out of the family too. So we know how to get into those families and how to get out of it. But in our first point, we have already mentioned that the family of Jesus that Jesus focused upon in this passage is the one of faith. And this means that to be a part of this family, we must have faith. But what kind of faith are we talking about here? And what are we to believe in? As Jesus would point out through the famous parable of the sower, this is a faith that hears the word of God. It holds fast to the word of God and bear fruit in obedience, in keeping with God's word. And we can see this by comparing the two kinds of soils that are presented in the parable. The first kind of soils are those that did not receive the seed and bear fruits. They represent those who have heard the word of God, but did not persevere in the word of God. And Jesus described them in three different kinds of scenarios. The first scenario described a soil that was a pathway. So when the seed was sown, it fell along the path. It was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Verse 5. There are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Verse 12. These are the people who heard the word of God, but did not pay attention to it, nor did they receive it into their heart. It was not in their heart. The second scenario described a rocky soil. So when the seed was sown, it fell on rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Verse 6, as Jesus would explain in verse 13, there are those, when they hear the word of God, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, but in times of testing and trial, in times of difficulty and persecution, they fell away. The third scenario described a soil filled with thorns. So when the seed was sown, it fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Jesus would explain that they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. They are choked out by the concerns of this world. All of these are ones who heard the word of God, but tossed it, throw it to some random corner of their mind, or perhaps toss it to the back of the head. Just like how we place random objects in our storage to gather dust and just forget about it. But we are not dealing with some random item here. As this parable clearly points out to us, as the word of Jesus clearly indicates to us, that this seed is the word of God. And on the day of judgment, it will be used as a light that shines and reveals all our sins. Just as reveals all our sins, which includes our sins of not holding fast to the word of God. And just as Jesus said in verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. The word of God will shine upon our innermost secrets, including our most despicable secrets that we do not want others to know. And those who have heard the word of God and neglected it will not find salvation on that day, on the day of judgment. Because the word of God went into one of their ears and out the other. Whatever false hope that they may have, whether it is their good work is able to merit some favor before God's eyes, or the false hope of being another chance, of there being another chance to believe in God after death, well, all of those false hopes will be dashed into pieces. They will be taken away, and there will be no more. And in contrast to these unfaithful soils are the good soils that receive the seed and bear fruits. They represent those who by faith receive and do the word of God. In verse 8, Jesus described that when the seed is sown, it fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Not just one for one return, but 100-time return. Very good return on the sowing. And Jesus would explain in verse 15, there are those who hearing the word hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. As you can see, these faithful ones please God. They find favor in God's eye, not only because they come to Christ and believe that he will reward them. They also have a genuine faith, which is that good soil. And that good soil is able to hold fast to the word of God. And by faith, they are holding fast to the promises declared in God's word. And that includes the promise of salvation. The phrase, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand, is actually a reference to what the Lord said to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And in Isaiah chapters 6 and 7, Isaiah was commissioned by God to proclaim the coming judgment upon the unfaithful. And he was also commissioned by God to proclaim salvation through God's Messiah, who is called Emmanuel, God with us. By referencing what God has said to Isaiah, Jesus was not only warning the unfaithful ones of the judgment promised in Isaiah's vision, he was also reminding those who are faithful that salvation through Emmanuel, the boy born of a virgin, is being fulfilled this day in your hearing. And besides the promise of salvation, the faithful ones are also holding fast to the promise of being God's people in heaven. The promise of salvation implies that God's people will be delivered from their sins. That's what the Savior comes to do. And consequently, as their sins are removed from them, they will be able to stand in God's presence in heaven as his people. No more and no longer are they to be removed from his presence due to sin. In verse 8, we see in verse 8, Jesus concluded this parable of the sower with this phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus would repeat this phrase again and again in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, which contain his pronouncement of judgment upon the unfaithful ones, as well as his promise of eternal life in heaven to the faithful believers. Therefore, this phrase, "he who has ears to hear, let him hear," carries with it an anticipation of eternal life in heaven, which Jesus would announce in Revelations. Aside from holding fast to the word of God, those who are faithful also bear fruit by doing the word of God, bearing fruit by patience. Faith is required to hold fast to the word of God, and faith is also required to bear fruit. For those who have heard and received the word of God will shine in their hearts, and it will be manifested into actions for others to see. Which is what Jesus is implying with verse 16, that no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or put it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. If we truly understand what we have in us is the word of God, we will truly live it out in our life. It will be manifested. It will be prominent for others to see. We will not be hiding it like something that we are embarrassed with. And we know that those who hold fast to God's words, which is the seed, those who hold fast to God's word will also have the Spirit of God abiding in them to water that seed and cause it to grow. And when this seed grows, it will produce the fruits of the Spirit who waters it. And can you recall what is the first one listed among the fruits of the Spirit? It is love. In love, the faithful believers will receive those who are lowly in this world. In love, they will also long for the lost to be saved by the word of God and provide for the ministry of Jesus, just as the faithful women did in verse 3. And the faithful believers would also do this in reflection of Jesus, the head of this family of faith, who was also an outcast in this earth. Jesus was a sinless man in this sinful world. He perfectly obeyed God's word, but would be condemned by the self-righteous religious leaders. He would even be casted out of the city. He was a literal outcast, casted out of the city, and even hung upon the cross for our sins. And upon that cross, as he bears our punishment of sin, his human nature would experience that distancing from God due to our sin, and caused him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in exchange of his action, in exchange of his work of atonement, God's people who were unable to come into God's presence due to sin may be adopted into God's family through their faith in Jesus Christ. God's people receive the spirit of adoption, become the children of God, and are able to call God, Abba, Father. And tonight, this word of God comes to you, calling you to join his family of faith. In this passage, Jesus went through cities and villages to proclaim the word of God and call people into his family of faith. And we know after his ascension into heaven, he continued to call people around the world, all the corners of this world, into his family of faith through his apostles. Tonight his words come to you from the scriptures that you hold in your hand, calling you to his family. And he even graciously reveals to you the secrets of the kingdom of God concealed in these parables, which is, you can join his family of faith by holding fast to his word and do it. So, congregation, are you hearing the word of God tonight? Or is the word of God coming in from one ear and quickly leaving the other? Are you those who are appreciative of the reminder, but you find the Christian life to be too difficult? You are tired of swimming against the currents of modern culture. You're tired of being mocked by your coworkers, classmates, or perhaps even your unbelieving family members. You long to be loved by them. You long to be received by them. So much so that you are willing to become one of them. Or perhaps you find the Christian life to be too restrictive. You want the luxurious lifestyles that you see on TikTok or Instagram. You want to be able to go shopping in Paris, swim with the manta rays in the Caribbean, and watch the sunset over African safari. You want those fancy lifestyles that are approved and admired by your millions of family members online instead of this boring Christian life. If so, please hear the word of Jesus. His words comes to you tonight from above, calling you who feel out of place in this world to join his heavenly family, which is a loving family that will not despise you for your education level, for your employment status, or even your history of sin. And your status in this family will never expire like your status in all of this worldly family. This is a family where everyone was lowly due to sin, but by the grace of God receives eternal sonship through faith in Jesus Christ. So hear his word tonight. Hold on to it. bear fruit with patience and be received into this heavenly family of faith. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this text reminds us that lowly creatures like us are received into your family because you have grace, you have mercy upon us. It is you who is at work. You elect, and your Son comes and atone for us, and your Spirit call us out. And even till this day, as your Son sowed this Word of God into our heart, your Spirit continue to water it in our hearts and help us, and your Spirit continue to help us to bear fruit. We just pray, O Lord, as we go through our journeys upon this earth, as we encounter various difficulties of life, you may help us to remember that we are no longer an outcast in your eyes because of the atoning works of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, and in his name we pray. Amen.